Well, our roots theme this morning is becoming the good news. It's part of the series I think you may well have been doing, Growing and Changing. So this morning, becoming the good news. Apparently the RAF teaches its personnel that flexibility is the key to air power. And flexibility is also a great asset for any of us. It's good for us to have. And it's possibly key to many things in our lives. Current thinking in management training also suggests that to be effective, we must develop the capacity to comfortably go from one area of skill to another. So we don't stay in a job all our life, perhaps like we used to, but we need to transfer from one to another and using different skills. You remember the Apostle Paul said that he would be or do anything to proclaim the gospel. So in order to become the good news, Paul was prepared to be flexible. Our reading from John's Gospel encourages us to think about our calling and what helps us to grow as Christians. And it also helps us to think about how we can become good news ourselves. In this passage that we read from John, Jesus is nearing the end of his life on earth. He has just entered Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And before the end of the day, he will celebrate the meal with his disciples in the upper room. Of course, as you know, it was after the Passover that Jesus was to die. Well, it's morning, and we're told that Jesus was talking to a group of listeners when Philip and Andrew approached him and quietly told him that there were some Greeks in the audience. They had heard about Jesus and they wanted to see him. And Jesus responded. He said, "The hour has now come for the Son of Man to receive great glory." And he then goes on to say that unless a grain of wheat seed hits the ground and goes under, it will only ever be one seed. But he says if it dies, it will grow and it will produce loads of new seeds. It will produce many grains. It will be fruitful. And Jesus continues, he says, "Anyone who clings on desperately to their precious life will lose it." But he says the people who recognize the shallowness of this life will get limitless in the next. Talking, of course, about eternal life. And Jesus says, if you want to be my team, copy me. Well, Jesus he committed his life to God and to his way, even to the point of dying on the cross. He was devoted to his Heavenly Father. Now, if we've been called to follow Jesus, then we are to copy his ways. And that means being dedicated, committed, and devoted to God, our Heavenly Father. In our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah, the prophet tells us that there will be a new covenant, a new agreement. He'd been told that by God. One that God's people would keep because it would be written on their hearts. In the New Testament, at the Last Supper, Jesus offered the wine as the blood of the new covenant, of that new agreement. And in doing so, he was saying that the prophesied new covenant between God and his people would indeed be written on their hearts, would be rooted in love, with the ultimate sacrifice of giving up one's life freely and gladly. And the basic message from the passage from John's Gospel is that Jesus' death has a saving significance, and that in following God's will to the last, we are called to a path of suffering service. So the calling to follow Jesus is unsettling. It involves being prepared to change, to be ever on the new move, to be flexible. Cardinal Newman said, "To live is to change. To be perfect is to have changed often." To share in Christ's dying means giving our lives away. It means planting our lives in Jesus and handing over to him our time, our money, our gifts and energies, and thereby letting God take over and be in charge of our lives. And this surely means, doesn't it, that we must disown our selfish egos, abandon ruthlessly a self-centered existence lived in conformity with the world's standards. Now, of course, we're all affected by the environment we find ourselves in, but what we must do is to do our best to develop the capacity to adapt, nurturing the capacity to judge how we can bring life to a situation, rather than just seeking comfortably to fit in. Jesus offers us life in all its fullness, abundant life, life with a capital L. Yes, there will be its ups and downs, and there will be suffering. But for that life to grow, we need to let the old way die so that the new life can grow. Society today holds on to the old ways. It's not prepared to change, and it seeks that abundant life through materialism. And we live, of course, in a secular society, and perhaps that's the church's biggest threat today. We live in a globalised economy, and the question of who rules the world is once again topical. No, it isn't kings, is it? Some would say that it's bankers rather than politicians, but others might suggest that it is personal ambition, human greed. Now, there may well have been times when we have colluded with society's ways. We have compromised, and we have tried to serve God and mammon. And we may have done so because it's been the easy path to take. And we've chosen not to follow the more difficult, the more costly path, that of following the example set by Jesus. And in doing so, we've not engaged in his mission. We've not been the good news. But we've all been created to be part of God's great mission. And he calls us to cooperate with him. No, we pray the words, and we've said them this morning, haven't we? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, even though it won't be fully realised until a future date, they are words for today and a prayer for today. Now, our acceptance to follow Christ brings with it the responsibility to see his kingdom come and his will be done. Not only through the activities held in our church premises, the BB and the guides and the Friendship Club and the prayer and Bible groups, the adventurers, etc., but also in our places of work, in the office or in the factory, in places of education at school and university, and at our local club, in our homes, at the shops and in the parks. In all such places, we ourselves are called to be the good news. Now, there may be times when we're the only Christian in the crowd. And on such occasions, I think it's encouraging to remember that wherever we are part of the body of Christ, a member of his church, an individual representative of Christ's body. Jesus prayed much, and it's prayer that enables us to do things together, even when we're physically apart. Prayer helps us to become the good news. And our commitment to follow is a whole life commitment. No putting God in a box marked Sunday. And where did I read the words? Enter to worship, depart to serve. You recognise those from the magazine, won't you? Now, remember the Greek men at the beginning of the passage? They wanted to see Jesus. When people come to church, they're not looking for a wealthy church. They want to see Jesus in you, in me. And if you're a member of the choir, when the anthem's finished, people want to see Jesus in you. And if you're a minister or a preacher, when the sermon's over, people want to see Jesus in you. And when at work or at your leisure activity, and you have told people what you stand for, they want to see Jesus in you. What we have to do each day is just show Jesus in our actions and through our attitudes. And in these places and ways, we can become the good news. And the call to follow is a call to abide in God, a call to be transformed by him in every aspect of our lives. Of course, the good news affects all of life, and it has a bearing on who we are. Our minds, our hearts, our bodies are affected because God calls us to love him with our hearts, minds, and bodies. His call is a personal call. It's to each individual. To each one of us, he says, give me your mind and your heart. Together and step by step, we will win the kingdom. And so we're asked to devote our lives to God through following his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's not a matter of saying, well, now I must be a good person. What we're required to do is to yield, to give ourselves to the friendship of Jesus, knowing that not by trying, but by living in his presence, by walking with him, we can, as the chorus puts it, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. We can become the good news. Now, Jesus himself, I think, on more than one occasion, must have pointed out that the lily became beautiful not by the effort of trying, but by growth brought about by yielding to the friendship of the sun and the wind and the rain. John Wesley preached many sermons in his long life, but it's been said that he preached no better sermon than the brief one which has become known as his rule of conduct. Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, as long as ever you live. And I don't know who wrote the following words, but they're also worth sharing, and I end with these. Where people are weak, they need your help. Where people lack fire, they need your enthusiasm. Where people lack boldness, they need your courage. Where people lack vision, they need your prayers. If we do these things with God's help and in his strength, we shall be well on the way to becoming the good news ourselves. Amen.